Thanks, Bev. Just give me a second here. Just looking around the room. Like all of you who attend these conferences, you do so with support. And since I actually have the microphone, I can do this because I'm here. So I'd like to thank a very special person of 30 years who has supported me in a lot of my union activities. And that's my partner, my wife Marilyn, who's back there, who love and support has allowed me to be here. Heroes, or looking for Captain Cupid. Peter's alarm went off with a loud beep, beep, beep. His right arm swung instinctively out and hit the snooze button. That was only the warning bell. He had this time to the second. He lay there for a few minutes and gathered his thoughts. He performed the census game that he did every morning. Hearing, check, he had heard the alarm clock. Touch was next. He dreaded touch in the winter. He pushed back the covers of the bed and counted to 10, then pulled them back up quickly. Cold, definitely cold outside. Sight. He looked at the window. Frost on the glass, now that confirmed it for him. Smell. He took a deep breath, waited, waited. Toast. Coffee. Mom was up. Beep, beep, beep. Red alert. It was time to get up now. Peter, are you up yet? His mother called from the bottom of the stairs. Let's get going, or you're going to be late. Coming, Mom. As he leaped out of bed, trying not to touch the cold floor as he dressed. As he left his bedroom, he met his older sister Sandra in the hallway. Morning, they said to each other. An improvement on get out of my way, their mother had thought. Peter sat down at the kitchen table and was soon joined by his sister. Now, he thought, came his favorite sense. Taste. Food. Today it was scrambled eggs, toast, and a special treat, a Japanese mandarin orange. Times were tough for Peter's family right now. His father had been laid off from his cleaning job at the local hospital and now had to work two jobs just to make ends meet. He really only saw his father on weekends, and then his father looked so tired that he really didn't want to ask him for anything. Peter's mom worked at the local high school as a career advisor. Peter already knew what he wanted to be when he grew up. He wanted to be a doctor so he could help people. There was a knock at the back door. It was Johnny. He had stopped to pick up Peter on his way to school. Sandra quickly got down from the table and hurried out the door. She did not want to be seen walking with her younger brother and his friend to school. The frost from the last night had made everything slippery. As Peter and Johnny approached the sidewalk on their way to school, Mrs. Murray was on duty. Johnny swears that she worked as a crosswalk guard when Peter's grandfather went to school. Mrs. Murray waited until she saw a break in the traffic, put out her stop sign, and proceeded off the curb. She could hear it before she even turned her head. A car could not stop because of the icy roads. She quickly started to back up onto the curb when the car whizzed by her, tearing the sign right out of her outstretched hand. The boys were thankful when they reached the school grounds. Someone had salted the steps and the walkways. The principal took pity on the students that day and allowed them to enter the school early if they wanted to go to the library to study. Mr. Brown, the education assistant, was in the library when they arrived. Peter looked at his arm. That was quite a bruise. It had been in the talk of the school yesterday. Ian, the student that Mr. Brown worked with, was having a bad day. No one knew what set him off, but everyone could hear what was going on. Furniture was being thrown, people were yelling, and staff was running to assist. Yet, there was Mr. Brown and Ian in the library before school, working on some sort of school project as if nothing had happened. How could that be, Peter wondered. As class started, it was Peter's turn to bring the attendance slip down to the office. As he handed the slip to the office secretary, Mrs. Dillon, he marveled at her. Here she was, calmly receiving attendance notices, answering the phone, and at the same time giving a map of the school to a TOC who had just arrived. Yesterday, there she was patching up Johnny, who at recess should have looked left instead of right while playing soccer. After a 15-minute lie-down and a baggie full of ice, Johnny was able to return to class. How did Mrs. Dillon know so much, he thought. She knew how to run an office, how to patch up kids, how to keep the teachers in line, and most importantly, according to some staff, she could unjam the photocopier. He had heard one parent say that she knew where the bodies were buried. But he doubted that was true. Lunch came with a ham sandwich, two homemade cookies, and a drinking box. After lunch, Peter and Johnny went outside to play. 45 minutes of full throttle fun. Today the game was hide and seek in the back of the school's property. As the boys got further and further out of bounds, out of nowhere appeared Mrs. Hatch. "What are you boys doing back here?" she questioned. A chorus of "Nothing!" followed. "If you can't see the school building, you've gone too far. All of you, move it and get closer to the school." After a chorus of "Ah," the boys complied. Just when they were starting to have fun, Peter thought. What could possibly go wrong back here out of sight of everyone? Mrs. Hatch followed the boys until they were within sight of the building, and then seemed to melt into the landscape, only to reappear just as mysteriously somewhere else. Afternoon dragged on, the only bright light being when they got to the computer lab. Some guy, who the teacher said was a Trekkie or a techie or something, had removed the viruses off of all the computers and they were working fine. Peter imagined that Data, as he liked to think of him, had been beamed to some other school to solve their problems. Ring! Yay! School was over for another day. As the boys walked out onto the school's basketball court, there were two balls just lying there. A soccer ball and then a basketball. Then a tennis ball came bouncing along. Then another. It was raining all sorts of balls. Mr. Williams, the school secretary, was on the roof of the school retrieving all the balls that had gathered there in the last week. Peter liked Mr. Williams, ever since he had helped Peter unlock his bike lock last spring. Peter also liked that Mr. Williams recycled. He took all the paper that they used during the day and recycled it. Peter felt a little sorry for Mr. Williams. There was water mixed with salt all over the hallway floors. Yet he could not ever remember Mr. Williams complaining, and he always seemed to have a smile on his face. Heroes. Captain America was born in 1941. A creation of Marvel Comics. He became the defender of good. Canada was not to be outdone. In February of 1942, Johnny Canuck was born, a creation of Dime Comics. In 1943, Captain Jack joined Johnny to thwart evil. Unlike our neighbors to the south, we had many superheroes, including Northern Light, Captain Canuck, North Guard, Capitaine Quebec, and two different Captain Canadas, along with their sidekicks, Beaver Boy and Fleur-de-Lis. These characters were created when our world was under attack and we were all looking for someone to look up to, our heroes. I see our heroes all the time. The crosswalk guards who put their bodies in harm's way to protect our children. The bus drivers who drive our province's most precious resource, our children, to school, to field trips, to ski trips. The special education assistants who work with the most challenged schools, students rather, in our school districts. As the frustration levels raise with these students, so does their behavior. When they act out, these are the people who de-escalate the situation. These are the people who return calm to the classroom. These are also the people who accompany children to camp, go shopping in the community, do life skills training, and so much more that you and I take for granted. The grounds department, who clean up the broken glass, the used condoms, the discarded needles. They shovel the snow, put down salt, line the sports field, prepare running tracks for the district track meets. The noon hour supervisors who break up fights, do basic first aid, and supervise the students so that all the staff can have an uninterrupted lunch break. The cabinet makers who build school furniture to meet a child's individual needs. The trades department who maintain the school buildings to a high standard. Those buildings represent the community's largest capital investment. And the custodial department, whose hours have been cut over and over again. Yet every day they clean the buildings so that they are clean and sanitized each day for another day's use. These are, in most cases, the only people that user groups see. They help out at sports days, carnival nights, and open houses. When I look for heroes, I don't have to look too far. I see them every day. I see them in this very room. Those who champion a student's right to learn are heroes. We represent those who work diligently to ensure that a clean and safe environment is there for the children. When you return to your work sites on Monday, stop for a moment and look for the heroes in your work sites. They won't be wearing any halo, and they don't want a medal. Acknowledgement from someone who understands what these people do is enough. Thank you.